station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Dee Dee Michaels. For today, partly sunny, high of 67. Tonight, slight chance of showers, low of 48. Saturday, sunny, high of 71. Saturday night, mostly clear, low of 51. Sunday, sunny, high of 83. Sunday night, clear. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
California headline news. Authorities at Oakland International Airport continue to try to figure out the cause of an airport runway light outage this week.
They're still working hard to determine what the cause of that is and to try to figure out how to prevent it from happening again.
Airport spokesman Scott Wintner. The planes were rerouted to a different runway that had them flying over a residential neighborhood in the middle to late evening hours. In Santa Rosa, a 40-year-old Boy Scout leader has been arrested and accused of molesting one of his scouts over a four-year period.
As far as we know, none of these allegations occurred during any sort of scouting activity.
Franklin Lee charged with five felony counts of prolonged molestation, two related to pornographic videos. He was immediately ejected by the Boy Scout Council upon his arrest. A five-day-old baby hippo has died at the San Diego Zoo. Officials there say they have no idea what could have happened, the hippo having been apparently in good health after birth. Geico weather, the storm system continues to hover over parts of the state. More snow in the mountains, rain in Central California. Jeff Scott, California News.
GEICO has various discounts to help you save even more money on your car insurance. Good driver, multi-car, even a discount for being a good student, which is an incentive for your teenagers to get good grades. And if they get good grades, they might get a good job and possibly become rich. Then they could pay for your car insurance. What a brilliant idea.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
75 years ago, the ballpoint pen was introduced. That happens to be around the same time that GEICO started saving people money on their car insurance. All of a sudden, people had more money in their checkbooks to buy all kinds of things to make their lives better. And with all that extra money in their checkbooks, thank goodness they now had a ballpoint pen to sign all those checks.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to Isla Earth. So you're out in the clear waters of Hawaii and notice that algae are smothering the beautiful coral reefs just below the surface. What's going on? Well, the alga, called Gorilla Ogo, is just one of five non-native algae species that threaten Hawaii's reefs. Thick coverings of algae can kill coral by blocking sunlight and the flow of fresh seawater. Four of the invasive algae species were brought to Hawaiian waters in the 1970s for aquaculture research. Algae are used commercially for everything from making ice cream to thinning paint. And everything was fine until algae-eating fish and sea urchins started their decline in the 1990s. Then the algae took over. Marine biologists at the University of Hawaii have found the perfect solution, though, an underwater vacuum cleaner. Called the Super Sucker, the vacuum is a converted gold dredger that runs on biodiesel. This sucker device can swallow up 800 pounds of the invasive plants every hour, replacing the need for 150 volunteers and 10 divers to perform the task manually. So what happens to the vacuumed-up algae? Well, once it's sucked off the coral, it's bagged and sold as a nutrient-rich fertilizer. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
Like to spend a few days in another world? Then write this down. Golden Bear Cottages, Big Bear Lake. Now, listen, this is not some corporate-owned operation. It's family-owned and operated by some real nice people. Unique? Oh, you bet. Golden Bear Cottages features 28 one-of-a-kind cabins on a 5-acre historic site. Great for families, couples, and groups. And cabins are available with 1 to 7 bedrooms. Golden Bear Cottages is just a stone's throw from Big Bear Lake and super close to 3 great ski areas. Now, I could go on all day about Golden Bear Cottages in Big Bear, but to see everything, just go to goldenbear.net. Again, goldenbear.net. Golden Bear Cottages in Big Bear. Clean, comfortable, and affordable. Check them out. goldenbear.net.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
Weekends are made for listening at KCAA News Talk 1050 on your AM dial.
And welcome Saturday, April 5th, 2014, Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs, politicalpistachio.com, douglasvgibbs.com, constitutionassociation.com. Email me at constitutionspeaker@yahoo.com. Almost forgot my own email address there for a second. And yes, you can call into this show, 888-909-1050, 888-909-50. I'm going to do something right now, because one time I did a show, I didn't do this, and it was causing all kinds of havoc. And I suggest all of you do this, because this show's way too important for you to be making noise and getting interrupted. Just turn off your cell phone. I'm going to turn mine off, or at least kill the sound so that it doesn't interrupt the show or me.
Can I play on mine?
Can you play on your phone? Can the case handle you dancing on it?
I got one of those smartphones.
Have you moved up in the world?
I have.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, Joe. This is the loquacious Joe. This is not the what have we been calling the other Joe? Silent Joe.
Reticent.
Reticent Joe. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. I looked at Alex because, you know, he has as much of a command on the English language I have. He has a much firmer command on the. Yeah. English language or on.
Well, I'm pretty sure he got a better education back in his day than we did in ours.
You know, you're probably right. Back then, they actually taught. They taught you to think rather than what to think.
That's right.
So, right. Or are we mistaken? Were they teaching you what to think to?
Once upon a time, Whittier College was a real college, and you could get a real education.
A real education, as opposed to?
As opposed to what they're handing out now.
Yeah, and if I know Alex, one of the words wrapped around his brain right now is communist. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Douglas V. Gibbs. I am your host every Saturday right here on Constitution Radio. And Alex Ferguson, that voice that you just heard, is always right here next to me. Alex, I noticed I got something in the mail, and you had called me, and it's funny because that afternoon that evening I went and checked my mail, and it was in the mailbox, so it's kind of funny. Your timing was perfect. Good stuff.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I tell you what, Alex is quite a writer. If you want to learn more about his writings in the past, the letters that he has sent to newspapers and all of that, conservativecanonade.org. Canonade, Canonade, for you liberals. Did I say that out loud? conservativecanonade.org. Now, today we have with us in the studio G.R. Mobley, and Mr. Mobley has been on the show a number of times before, and once his stint is up, we'll probably just keep inviting him anyway because he's a lot of fun. Because one of the things that we wind up doing on the show, which I need to do more of when he's on the show, is, you know, remember, name of the show is Constitution Radio. When he's on the show with us, we talk about the Constitution. Yeah. Now, Mr. Mobley, your new book's in the can.
Absolutely. Just picked it up, and it's on Amazon and on my website at MobiusStripPress.com.
All right. What's the title of the second one?
We the People, the Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review.
Republic Review. Now, let's backtrack, because one of the things I keep learning on the show, especially when I got a blank stare from the engineer last week when we started talking about fracking, and we just started talking about fracking this, fracking that, and finally he says, Doug?
Yeah, I'm going to hit the dump button.
Yeah, what's fracking? Right. Oh, garbage. See, that's my new word, garbage. See, it keeps me from, using other words like, mojo, or you know, other profane things like that.
Yeah. Expletives.
But anyway. And so we have to remember, we have to sometimes, I know I've got the most informed audience out there, but there are a handful of listeners, probably the ones in San Francisco, that listen to the show and don't necessarily understand a lot of what we're talking about.
But it's basically digging a hole and making a left turn.
Well, in the case of the progressive left, they made the left turn and fell in the hole.
Well, yeah.
Are you speaking of a shovel-ready hole?
No shovel. Yeah, shovel ready. Yeah,
sure, but the definition I got that I received was fracking was basically drilling a hole in the ground,
right,
to pump out oil. But when if the oil
going at an angle,
but if it goes at an angle, they can change the direction of the.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that you said left turn. That's the reason why.
Horizontal would be the term.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We can use that one.
Yeah, horizontal.
Yeah.
Well, next time we need big works like that, we'll just ask Alex.
There we go.
anyway, so what we're going to do for talking about Republic Review is we're going to set it up a little bit. In the news right now, there is a news story out about the state of Michigan.
Constitutional Convention, but they're speaking of an Article 5, which is a little bit different.
A little different.
I'll let you
Yeah, well, Michigan has, we're being told, is the 34th state to decide to put out an application for an Article 5 convention. Now, that's not completely accurate. They are the 34th state recently. In reality, if you go back all the way to the beginning of the United States, these applications don't expire, and there have been over 750 applications for an Article 5 convention by 49 of the 50 states. Now, that said, oh, by the way, for those of you who are wondering where I was on Facebook, I am now there. So if you want to chat with me, Facebook.com/Douglas V. Gibbs, Facebook.com/Douglas V. Gibbs. So if you don't want to call in at 888-909-1050, you can, you know, leave me little messages on the Facebook and I will ask your question for you. But anyway, so the Article 5 Convention, what it is an Article 5 of the Constitution, which is about amendments, amending the Constitution. Rather than the Congress proposing the amendment, it gives the states the opportunity to hold a convention and propose the amendments themselves. It cuts the federal government out of the process. And then the fail-safe is, as explained in Federalist 85 by our sometimes good friend and sometimes want to slap him upside the head, Mr. Alexander Hamilton, a very good explanation of Federalist 85. And his fail-safe that he explains is that the fact that it will still take 3/4 of the states to ratify those amendments. So that's your fail-safe against a runaway convention. Or as a lot of people like say, oh, ConCon is going to get out of control. Slow down, folks. But now Mr. Mobley is recommending a convention of that, sort of like that, but it's a little different. It's not about amendments. It's a play on words. Think about it. Republic Review, Judicial Review, play on words. Judicial Review, when the courts decide what if a law or an action by the federal government is constitutional or not. Of course, as you've heard me explain, that's a very dangerous thing because, first of all, the courts, you're putting the hands of our law in the hands of men that have a lot of power or are getting a lot of power because of this. I don't believe that the Founding Fathers wished for judges to have that kind of power. But secondly, also remember that these courts, these federal courts, are part of the federal government. Our Constitution was written to create a federal government, but to limit it in its scope and power as much as possible by the courts, the federal courts deciding if a law is constitutional or not. They are deciding whether or not the federal government has those powers. So in other words, the federal government's deciding for itself what its own authorities are. Not exactly the idea of limited principles. Well, if the courts are not supposed to do it, who is? Who are the final arbiters of the Constitution? And that's where Mr. Mobley steps in.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the states. And let me back up a little bit. The Constitution was a contract, and you're right. It created enumerated powers, and it limited and defined the specific powers, or I'd like to call it the roles, responsibilities, and powers of the general government, or what people call the federal government. And in the Constitution, it also gave them the process of how they can change the powers, roles, responsibilities, and so forth. So what we're looking at in the Article 5 process is how the federal government can make recommendations to the states to say, we'd like to have the power to go and assess new lands and make them a part of the federal government. And so we're going to create an amendment to the Constitution to create the Department of Interior. Well, we have a Department of Interior in 1849, but they didn't follow the Article 5 process. And so this whole Republic Review concept is doing for the general government what they did not do in following the Constitution, and it's basically putting all these roles, responsibilities, and powers that they took upon themselves, or what Washington said, usurped, and literally go through and see if they've got the three-fourths requirements ratify.
Now, we're kind of going back also to the amendment process. Your thinking has a lot to do with the amendment process in the sense that what I was talking about earlier, three-quarters of states to ratify. So if at least a quarter plus one of the states don't like something, don't believe it's constitutional, should I say, what does that do?
Well, that would reject that power, role, or responsibility so that the general government would no longer be able to do that. And until the states actually step in and either amend the Constitution or reject those powers, the general government is going to continue to do the things that it thinks it wants to do because somehow they've told themselves that they can do that. If you read the Marshall rulings
Well, we're told that if the federal government doesn't do it, it wouldn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It will never happen. It's like I talk about the federal highway system and how it's unconstitutional. People say, well, then we wouldn't have a highway system. Don't you appreciate it? You don't think the people of the states and the states would come to the conclusion, hey, maybe we should create highways?
Well, actually, we did have a highway system in the very beginning, and the federal government did take upon themselves the access to the government seat or to Washington, D.C. They were responsible for creating a highway system for each state to get to them. And so that was the Madison, Jackson, and all these other
right.
presidents.
Well, now Madison, though, outright rejected funding for boatways and roadways.
Well, he rejected the funding to take over all highways and waterways. But if you really look, he actually authorized the access routes for the new states and new territories to gain access to Washington, D.C.
And part of the reason for that actually comes into Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, where the federal government has the authority to establish post roads.
Yes, and it also falls under the general welfare because all states should have the ability for easy access to the seat itself.
Now, do you really want to use the general welfare
clause?
Well,
I mean, there is a purpose for that clause so that one state shouldn't have an advantage over another.
I don't believe general welfare is a clause. I believe that it is a condition. If the Constitution is met, if the Constitution is followed, then there is a condition of general welfare throughout the nation. It wasn't really meant to be a clause. And a matter of fact, there's a lot of writings by the founders, Madison especially, how if the general welfare clause is to mean what the politicians have taken it to mean, where they can do whatever they want as long as for the general welfare of the nation, then really we don't have a limited government. We have a government that can do whatever it wants. All they got to do is say, hey, it's for the general welfare.
Oh, absolutely. The general welfare only applies to those things that are enumerated and defined within the Constitution. Same thing with Supremacy Clause, Necessary and Proper Clause, and even the Commerce Clause. Those clauses are limited and defined to the enumerated powers that were created by the actual contract authors and ratifiers, which is the states, or what I like to call the framers, the founders. The states are the founders.
The parents. So, states are the parents.
Yes. I believe that's the relationship. They're the parents, and the child would be the general government.
Now, we've got a child that's running amok, and the parents are nowhere to be found.
It's time to wake up, folks. It's time to pull these children in and give them a good what's for.
Now, speaking of children and pulling them in, Alex, have you been able to cover all – because, you know, you're the child of our group, obviously. Have you been able to follow everything we're talking about? Any questions, any concerns? Because, you know, the average listener is going, oh, wait a second. Where did these guys just go?
I must say that my mind tends to wander in such arcane meanderings. However, the thing that is on my mind right now, the place I have wandered to, is what happens if we – pass an amendment to the Constitution and the Supreme Court declares it unconstitutional.
We're going to go into that. I want to answer that. That's a great question. Here's the problem. It's break time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, I'm going to answer that question, myself and Mr. Mobley.
That's an opportunity for us to discuss it.
Great question.
a teaser.
Southern California's Inland Talk Express is KCAA, News Talk 1050.
The True Patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work. And every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive up to $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at www.allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at constitutionquest.com.
Fearless, honest talk radio through the lens of the Constitution. You're listening to Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
With the rise of fiat currency and collapsing currencies, a safe haven asset is out there. For the last 5,000 years, gold has been your best insurance to empower yourself and your future. You can acquire embedded gold cards that can enable you to use gold as an investment in everyday trade transactions or as an insurance for the future. Gold is the oldest, most reliable, and unchangeable payment method in the history of the world. The opportunity is incredible because gold is real money and currency is not. Gold will survive when currency cannot. Learn more by going to $1.com. That's $1.cents, S-E-N-S-E, the number $1.com, and contacting your local team member at 909-657-0091 so that you can learn how to become a partner and have the opportunity to get your gold for free. Visit $1.com and call your local team member today at 909-657-0091 so that you may become a partner.
KCAA.
Okay, we got questions, lots of questions here on Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs. Welcome back, KCAA AM 1050, San Bernardino, and around the nation on KCAAradio.com. And don't forget, you missed a show, didn't catch the whole show, it's also podcasted. If you go to the Saturday link on the sidebar at the KCAAradio.com website, click on that page, find my ugly mug, Douglas V. Gibbs, Constitution Speaker, and hit the podcast button, and every show I've ever done here for the last almost 3 years here on KCAA will come up, and you can listen to anyone, everyone, this one, whichever. And it podcasts almost immediately after the show, so you don't have to wait like a day or two after the show's over. Now, that said, Alex had a question. He says, okay, so what happens if we now, was it an amendment that you were asking?
Just a simple amendment.
Let's say an amendment becomes an amendment to the Constitution, that the states decide that they ratify it, so it's now a part of the Constitution. What happens then if there's a lawsuit and the Supreme Court decides it's unconstitutional? Now, that's actually a very good question. Here's why. Proposition 8 in California was a constitutional amendment to the state constitution. It got challenged, and a federal court came in and decided it was unconstitutional, not as compared to the state constitution, but as compared to the federal constitution. Now, in my opinion, that's a state issue. It's none of the federal court's business. They shouldn't have even heard that case. But what you're saying is it's not unheard of. Now, in this case, it would be a federal amendment to a federal constitution. Now, common sense would say, well, it's a part of the constitution now. How can it be unconstitutional? right? Duh. But what will happen is these courts, because it is about political ideology, is they will find a way to do exactly what you're saying. I do believe that that could happen, which goes back to what I was saying about the danger of judicial review. When you've got a court system that's got that kind of power that now they can even override the rule of law with their human opinion, because it's just an opinion, so some single judge can suddenly override that. And it's like I explained to people, when you have the rule of man ruling over the rule of law, it doesn't take long before we're dancing around a golden calf.
I can see how they could pull that with Prop 8 because it's a federal versus state situation. But
it's still unconstitutional them doing it, though.
Well, look at all the stuff that is unconstitutional. It goes without saying.
True enough.
But what I'm saying is that there would be a constitutional crisis at the point that you have an amendment. And the
okay,
Supreme Court.
Mr. Mobley, the guest who's supposed to have a chance to talk, is shaking his head, nodding his head, shaking his head. I got to know what's going on in that noggin.
So within the Judiciary Acts, and there were a couple of them, the Judiciary Act clearly states what the Supreme Court is supposed to do, and they're supposed to abide by the Constitution. What you're talking about is nine people. Some of these people, if you have a full, I think, acquiescence of all judiciary members of that of the Supreme Court, then all of them would be unseated. But those who basically violate their constitutional obligation and what they swear to that position of the bench, they would be basically thrown out. They would be whatever the process is of impeachment, because Supreme Court justices can be impeached.
Well, and we've moved away from that original intent. And you and I, matter of fact, were talking about this earlier. In the beginning, the parts of government, their focus was not supposed to be ideology. It was supposed to be the Constitution. In other words, like presidents didn't veto laws because they disagreed with the law. If they vetoed a law, it was supposed to be because of constitutional grounds. In the case of the 1817 Public Works Bill that we mentioned earlier, James Madison, he didn't veto it because he didn't like the law. In fact, he says in his veto, it's a good idea. But he can't find in the Constitution any place that gives the federal government the authority to do what that particular bill was calling for. Now, that question, and remind me, what was your question again? The engineer Joe.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my question. You know, talking about amendments. Now, there's this whole thing going on right now about legalizing marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's legalized in Colorado, and was it Washington that's legalized it now?
Right.
Lots of states have legalized it for medicinal purposes, and the federal government does not recognize that.
Right,
so
right.
But as states do that, they're literally nullifying the federal powers of saying that that drug's illegal.
Right.
So,
But now let's go back to his question. His question was, how many states have to legalize marijuana before it becomes a federal issue? Or federally approved as and federally
right
supported
accepted.
Yeah. Okay. Now the whole your question is a good question, but it's not really about the question as much as it is about the premise. Okay. Your premise is that if enough states legalize something, it becomes a federal issue, or the federal government suddenly has charge over it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And that's an inaccurate premise. Federal government's authorities come from the Constitution, not however many states decide that they want to approve something. So first of all, the federal government won't have authority over marijuana unless there's an amendment to the Constitution granting that authority. And if there's an amendment, it has to be ratified by the states. In other words, this goes back to that parent-child thing, that parent-child idea. Mm-hmm. In other words, federal government has to ask the states for permission to have that authority.
Right.
And it takes three-quarters of them to authorize. Now,
what
he was saying is what's going on, though, is we have federal drug laws that are actually unconstitutional because there's no place in the Constitution the federal government is given any authority over drugs. However, by the states basically saying, you know what? We're going to do this about marijuana regardless of what the federal government is saying. What they're doing is nullification. They're nullifying the inherent power, what they think is an inherent power of the federal government to to authorize or not authorize certain kinds of drugs.
So it's basically you're kind of like saying they have to ask for the permission to have it legalized, but they don't need the permission to
do it themselves
to punish it.
So we're not saying that. The Constitution says that. The constitutional, or I should say the founding documents say that. When the states met in each state's ratification debate, they clearly stated that we reserve all powers, and any time that the federal government, this general government, wants to take on a new role, responsibility, or power, they're going to have to come and appeal to us through an amendment process, which is indicated here in Article 5. So
yeah, so basically, yeah, they have the rule of everything until we decide to come.
Well, now let's go back to premise again. We have to go back all the way to the very, very original premise. The states have original authority over everything, right? Because the states existed before the federal government. They all had their own authorities, rules, how they ran their own, basically how they floated their own boat. It was nobody else's business.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'll interject. King George, when he signed the treaty with all 13 states, recognizing them as sovereign states.
Really?
Yeah, yes. Not as a sovereign nation. Matter of fact, if you read the Declaration of Independence also, in the very
That's
beginning.
That's a long declaration, though.
In the very, very beginning, well, here, let me pull it out.
Especially if you read the one that wasn't edited, the politically correct version that we know today.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nothing. How about the Constitution that Obama follows? but anyway, let me get. It says Declaration of Independence, Action of the Second Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Now, what you'll notice about that is in United States, United is not capitalized.
Correct.
The reason is it wasn't. A single nationalistic entity is the United States. It was these states that are united, United States. So that was the attitude. And it kind of goes back to the idea of the United States are versus the United States is. And you've heard me talk about that before.
Yeah.
So first of all, we have to understand that all the powers belonged to the states originally. What they did is they created this federal government. It's sort of like
They still do, by the way.
Yeah, it's sort of like you hiring a contractor. You hire a contractor to do a service for you, and in the contract it gives him, okay, you are going to build this room addition to my house, and you're going to put up this eave. Now, if that contractor showed up and started doing your lawn, you'd be, wait a second, that's not in the contract. That's not the authority I gave you. And he says, well, yeah, but I think the contract says this. And you say, yeah, but I'm the one that made the contract. I'm the one that made it. So what I think it says is what matters here, okay? Well, the states created the federal government to serve the states, right? And they gave the federal government some of those authorities so that it could function in the manner that they wanted it to function. But add the room. Put up those beams, give us a new eave. What are you cutting the lawn for?
Right.
Okay, well, the drug laws, they're cutting the lawn. That's not authorized.
But what you're running into is adverse possession. In real estate, if somebody uses somebody else's property for a certain amount of time and the owner knows about it and doesn't do anything about it, the property becomes the usurper's property. And what they're saying, what the liberals are saying, the people that don't recognize the Constitution as we do, they're saying, we did it, nobody objected.
Therefore, it's constitutional.
Therefore, it's constitutional. It becomes common practice and
so what
law.
You're saying is no, so what you're saying the real problem here is apathy.
Well, no, so,
absolutely.
Well, apathy may be a problem, but if you go to the original contract, that was not considered and that was not allowed. That's right. One of the reasons why.
Well, that's why it's written.
Well, that's one of the reasons why the resolutions from Kentucky and Virginia came forward and in basically saying the states have a duty and an obligation to protect their citizens from federal tyranny.
Well, and if you read the Kentucky resolution, specifically Jefferson's draft, not the final draft, but his draft of the Kentucky resolution, he basically says that all laws that are passed by the federal government that are not within constitutional authorities are null and void.
Correct.
Which is one of the supporting parts for nullification.
And just because they've used the Supreme Court and other lawyers with legalese to assert that they can do this, and they've dumbfounded people saying, oh, well, there's precedence back to Marshall, which was all unconstitutional if you read his rulings, then it doesn't make it any more constitutional. And there's nowhere where the squatter's rights applies to this.
But it's the reality on the ground, and that's the problem.
Well, now this brings us all the way back to the original conversation, Republic Review. Okay, now, going back to my question earlier, judicial review says the courts have that authority, and I asked you, well, if they don't have the authority to determine what is and isn't constitutional, who does? Well, it goes back to who had original authority, those who created this Constitution in the first place, the states. So, well, the problem is, though, we've got a court deciding what is and isn't constitutional, and we've got states that are not doing it. So how do you get the states to get in the ballgame and start deciding what is and isn't constitutional, and to do it in such a way that the federal government abides by that?
You know, there's got to be a strategy for this. Oh, there is. It's called We the People, the Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review.
Back to the book. Back to Mobley's book.
Great segue, Doug.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we talked about all that, though, because now, see, it's created a context for what you're talking about in your book.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, one of my fundamental premises is reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And so when we start –
or the truth has no agenda.
Correct. And when we start looking at the usurpations and some of these roles and responsibilities and powers, in all honesty, some of these are good roles, responsibilities, or powers. The question is, do we want this general government to do this? Newsflash, the federal government does not have a monopoly on being the only federal government here. The states can actually commission a commission to maintain and manage
the
infrastructure.
Well, in other words, they can work together. Well, see, let me throw in another term here. The fear is not necessarily whether or not government does something, but whether or not a centralized government does something. Because when a centralized government does certain things, it creates potential problems that could lead to tyranny. In other words, that centralized government taking on powers that they shouldn't and then dictating or mandating back down to the individual units. Because, and a friend of mine, he's kind of coined this term, but I'm going to steal it from him. We are an individual-centric society, not a government-centric society. Individual people, individual states. People who believe in a strong central government believe in a government or centralized centric society. They want to eliminate individualism and that individual centric attitude. So you are just a part of a village and the states are just a part of a union. It's a national entity. United States is rather than United States are.
So to inject one of the things I like to quote on Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton, a lot of the framers spoke about energies, the energies of government. And there are two types of energies of government that we're dealing with ideologically. There's a centripetal energy and a centrifugal energy. And if you understand those two energies or physics principles, centripetal is pulling energy in as it spins. That's basically how our solar system gets created. And a centrifugal energy is when you spin around and the force throws things out. What they created, what the framers created, was a centrifugal energy. For the first time, a centrifugal energy of government was created that distributed out roles and responsibilities to the states and as far local or to the community level as much as possible, so that you didn't have the centralizing effect. And in a centripetal energy effect, by centralizing things, it's very destructive. And there's no way you can manage that. It becomes unmanageable.
Can you say that five times fast? That's what I want to know. No, I'm kidding. the name of the book, We the People –
The Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review, which
that's
is
also,
the follow-on.
Yeah, that's also the book of the week, by the way.
Which is
amazing.
Follow-on to We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? A Constitutional Fix to a Constitutional Problem is the subtitle for that.
Do we have Jasmius with us, Joe? All right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, in the introduction of my book, I put – and all of the Joes that have helped along the way – And my editor said, no, because people think that that's like, an expletive, you call them people just a bunch of Joes. I said, no, really, there was a bunch of Joes.
What'd you call me?
The bunch of Joes I know.
Yeah, you're just an average Joe. But you're
an
average
talking about Stalin again?
Yeah, an average loquacious Joe. But anyway, Jasmine, you with us, brother?
Yeah, I'm just here putting together a care package for Joe Moran, Jim Moran.
Jim Moran. Joe, Jim, yeah, they're all the same.
Because, of course, he's the congressman from Virginia that believes that Congress is underpaid.
Right. Yeah, and Trey Gowdy, I was surprised, is involved in that, too. Okay, time for the Constitution Quest, question of the week. I'm going to ask the question, and then my panel of people around me are going to try to answer it. Jasmius, welcome back. Also, we've got 12 big stories, which means we're not going to talk about them. We're going to mention them and then refer you back to when we talked about them earlier today and then talk about the final two. Now, here's the question of the week. Are you ready? It comes from the Constitution Quest game card. Constitution Quest, gosh, Constitution Quest. Yeah, it goes back to that. Saying things five times fast.
Constitution Brooks, guest hosting today.
Yeah, funny. ConstitutionQuest.com. By the way, I just had a meeting with them the other day, and they said that if you go to ConstitutionQuest.com and you order a game, you will get 20% off the price of the game if you enter Doug, D-O-U-G, In the discount code box. So if you're going to buy the game, Constitution Quest, ConstitutionQuest.com, enter Doug in the discount code box and you get 20% off. Now, here's the question. Comes from one of the game cards from the game.
I see it's a card.
Yeah, it is a card, which is not a qualification to become a U.S. Senator, which is not a qualification to become a U.S. Senator. A, to be at least 25 years old. B, be a citizen for at least 9 years. C, inhabit the state that elects him or her. And really, it should be appoints, but that's beside the point. All right, Joe.
Yeah.
Which do you think it is? Which is not.
Which is not.
A qualification.
Okay, so one was being, you have to be 25 years old.
A is 25 years old. B is be a citizen for at least 9 years. C is inhabit the state that elects him or her.
Well, seeing how we have senators that we never see, so I'm going to say C.
That's almost as good as the other Joe's conclusion of that cocaine in District Columbia, because the word Columbia is in it, and Columbia has
there you go.
Do you wear corrective lenses? Because you're not wearing them, right?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're just a blur to him.
Yeah.
all right, Alex?
I'm going to go with... Give me the choice.
Which is not a qualification to become a U.S. Senator? A, be at least 25 years old. B, be a citizen for at least 9 years. C, inhabit the state that elects him or her.
I always look like a booger on these. I'll go for B.
You're going to go for B, be a citizen for at least 9 years. Okay, Jasmine and Garen, I know that you guys know the answer. So I'm not going to ask you just yet. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to find out the answer to the question. Don't go anywhere.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
Hey, this is Doug from Constitution Radio. How do you feel about the economy right now? Are you concerned about the United States being over $17 trillion in debt? How do you think it will affect you? What are you doing to protect your assets? Some people have found a way to capitalize on these conditions and receive an early retirement, regardless of their age. Sound interesting? Call 909-657-0091 and ask for Bob. That's 909-657-0091 for your chance at an early retirement.
AM radio just got better. You're listening to Constitution Speaker Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA Radio, AM 1050.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years, built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service. We offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive up to $100 off or or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at www.allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us at 951-279-9161. We are the Kings of Rock and Roll. The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
Other talk stations use words like savage. Sounds brutal. Hey, it's all good. Your superstation, AM 1050, News Talk KCAA.
We're getting better at it. Okay, yeah, we're getting better at all kinds of stuff. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs. Joe, you just love it when you get to work with my show, don't you?
Oh yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than sticking a CD in for some pre-programmed or someone that's
right.
on Skype. You know, you get to.
Yeah, I actually get to talk to somebody.
Yeah, because Joe's so lonely. in the booth, I mean, at work. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, welcome back. Constitution Quest, question of the week, constitutionquest.com, the board game that you can play with your family and learn the Constitution at the same time. What is your constitutional IQ? Question, what is not a qualification to become a U.S. Senator? A, to be at least 25 years old. B, to be a citizen for at least 9 years. Or C, inhabit the state that elects him or her. Joe said C, and Alex says B. Jasmius, what do you think?
A.
You think it's A, to be at least 25 years old? Garen?
B.
B, it'd be a citizen for at least 9 years. You sure?
No.
No. And like usual, Jasmius is the one that got it figured out. A, to be at least 25 years old. How old are you supposed to be, Jasmius?
30.
30, right. What is the age for to be a House of Representatives?
25.
25, aha.
So in other words, you were in the wrong house.
Yeah, yeah. If you're only 25, you're in the wrong house.
Get in the dumb waiter and go through the window and
yeah,
shimmy down.
Yeah, of course, in California, you're in the wrong house means a totally different thing, and it usually means you're a burglar. That said, let's ask ourselves, why do you think you need to be older to be a senator than you do a member of the House of Representatives? Joe, what do you think? Why is that?
Looks, I don't know.
Because the Senate looks so much more dapper and more wise because they're right. A little bit older. Yeah. Alex, why do you think senators need to be 5 years older than members of the House of Representatives in order to be a member of the House?
¿Quién sabe, señor?
What?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
You're supposed to know these things, especially since, you know, you would definitely qualify to be a senator.
I'm here to learn.
Ah, okay.
I could be an emperor at my age.
Mr. Mobley.
So the role for a senator is to represent the states.
Right.
The role for a congressman is to represent the people,
mm-hmm.
to understand the state's requirements and who to interface at the state level. I think they require a little bit more maturity and a little bit more domain knowledge.
And it also takes time to build that political savvy that you're going to have because you're going to have to work up through the system. You're not just someone in the district as in the sense of a house. But with the Senate, you worked your way up to the system. You've impressed the state legislature enough to where they're going to appoint you as a senator. However, that's not the way it is anymore. Now, senators are voted in, which happened in 1913, 17th Amendment.
So that's,
and that probably helps explain why senators have 6-year terms and representatives have 2-year
yeah,
terms.
Yeah, it's a very, very wise addition to this discussion.
But there's a huge – I know you want to jump in, Joe, but there's a huge disparity between roles because the Senate has the responsibility to ratify treaties. To basically ratify the appointments of cabinet mm-hmm. members, Supreme
right.
Court appointments, and those types of things.
Yeah. In other words, things that the parents would do. In other words,
absolutely to ensure that the parents have this level of protection.
Right.
But
didn't they realize even back then that age does not guarantee wisdom?
Back then, it may have helped.
Is it 35 to be the president?
Is that a question or is that a statement?
Yeah, it's 35.
Yes. Yeah, sir. Yeah,
well, I wanted to know if he actually knew or if he was asking. I'm stunned, though. You're right.
I think I got that right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know what trivia question not to ask.
And you don't have to be a citizen.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
No,
like,
you could
wait
be,
a minute. What?
Yeah, you could yeah. be from Kenya. And no, no. Anyway.
Oh.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Those dang birthers. We got to get rid of them. Okay. You know the Democrats were the first birthers. You know that, right? Weren't they the ones accusing him of?
It was Hillary, I think.
Yeah, Hillary. She was the first birther. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 12 big stories, because there was way too many to, you know, leave anything off. And what we did is from noon to almost 2 o'clock, almost a full 2 hours, Jasmius and I went through stories 12 through 3, discussed them at length. So we're not going to discuss them at length. I'm going to tell you what they are and send you in that direction. In order to hear that show and the brilliance of the two hosts, blogtalkradio.com/American Daily Review. Or if you were to look up American Daily Review on your radio on your search engine, you'll probably find it pretty quickly. Or you go to politicalpistachio.com. I posted a link to it this morning. Story number 12, prayer. More specifically, the Maryland County Commissioner was willing to go against a judge's order not to pray at the beginning of the county meetings. She defied the judge and said, "I'd rather go to jail than not pray." And the public school that told in Florida that told the little 5-year-old not only can she not pray during grace during her lunchtime meal, but that it is, quote, unquote, not a good thing to pray. Story number 11, 8.0 earthquake strikes off coast of Chile. That's a pretty big quake. That follows up, of course, Yellowstone, North Korea quake, and, of course, the ones that have been rattling L.A. North Korea and South Korea exchange fire right into their waters. Story number 9, CIA confirms what we already knew about Benghazi. I don't even think I have to explain that one. Story number 8, Obama discontinues key missile programs, Tomahawk, Hellfire, bye-bye. Oh, and there's no replacement missile systems being developed either.
Wouldn't it be lovely if he were on our side?
It would be lovely if he was on our side, yes. Well, I was told by a woman one time, she says, "Well, aren't you excited that a constitutional lawyer is president of the United States?" Yeah, Jasmine's reaction is the same as mine.
One whose grades are being kept secret even as we speak.
Story number seven, NSA confirms warrantless searches. Story number 6, anti-gun Democrat busted for weapons trafficking.
Including missiles.
You can't write this stuff, man. Shooting at Fort Hood, yes, a new one. Oh, and we're being convinced it's not a terrorist this time. Finland and Bulgaria wary of Russian expansion is story number 4. Obamacare deadline, story number 3. What was the comment you made about Alex earlier, Jasmius?
Oh, that goes all the way back to story number 12.
The prayer
which
one.
County commissioner in Maryland who was told, well, you can't use sectarian prayers anymore. And she said, it's the same prayer George Washington used. She mentioned that if we, let's see if I got the quote here, that if we don't stop going the way that we're going, we're going to end up with a communist system, or words to that effect. And I, as soon as I read that, I thought, you know, when she said that, Alex must have perked up and said, "Somebody call my name."
Yeah, that's right. The communists are everywhere.
I'm convinced that they're going to declare the Declaration of Independence unconstitutional because it's got God in it 4 times.
Well, and also George Washington is going to be stricken from all textbooks because he prayed and his farewell speech, his Thanksgiving proclamation. You know,
when was the Constitution signed?
They'll put a sheet over that portrait of him and kneeling by his horse for sure.
When was the Constitution signed? I'm just going to add this. It was in the year of our Lord.
That's
in
true.
In the year of our Lord,
that's
yes.
True.
Anno Domini.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, A.D., yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, story number 2, the secret amnesty ploy. I'm talking Republicans, man. What they're doing is the NDAA bill, which is already a piece of garbage, and it's up again for they're going to slip this language in there for amnesty. You know, if you're willing to serve in our military, why, we'll make you legal.
Military is already
yeah,
full of gangbangers.
I really want someone that has no allegiance to my nation to put on the uniform of this nation. I'm jazzed about that.
But we've done this before. We've done this before.
Have we?
Yes, the Filipinos have been able to...
Well, yeah, but no. At the time, it was considered a territory, though.
Okay.
At the time, it was a territory of the United States. We're not talking people from a territory. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Trust me, I was in the United States Navy, and
So if you're not from a territory, you can't be in our army?
No, you can. That's just it. You can. Because really? you're who, part of America.
Where did that shooter from Fort Hood, where was he from, the shooter at Fort Hood?
Texas?
Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Puerto Rico. There you go. Okay, secret amnesty ploy. Please, Jasmius, insert your wisdom.
Well, it's of a piece with the fact that came out this week that there are some, quote, key Republican donors, close quote, i.e. Mitt Romney donors, who are pushing Jeb Bush for president in 2016.
Excuse me, sir.
And, of course, Jeb Bush supports all kinds of wonderful things like amnesty and Common Core.
I want to get myself a protest sign that says, no more Bush in U.S. government. Wouldn't that go over well?
Stop the nepotism.
I mean, all you can say about that, I mean, both of them. I mean, it's kind of reinforcing the same bad trend. And
well, what's frustrating is these are a progressive family that claims to be conservative, and people believe them.
Duck that dynasty.
Well, I mean, let's just put it this way. The GOP base will not, never, ever accept amnesty, period, end of, you know, period, exclamation point.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Suicide. For the party.
If Ted Cruz started making friendly noises toward amnesty, he would be drummed out. I mean,
look at what Rubio received for being a part of the Gang of Eight, and he was the conservative superstar, and then suddenly Gang of Eight, and the criticism got real heavy there.
Yeah, and that so much for his, if he ever had presidential ambitions, he could kiss those goodbyes.
Right.
So,
well, he's not eligible anyway. Both of his parents were Cuban citizens at the time of his birth. So he's actually technically not eligible, just like the current president. All right, Paul Ryan's budget bill is story number one. Paul Ryan's budget bill. Dick Morris says that the GOP should reject it. Why?
Because it presumes to reform and or, as the left refers to it, cut, quote-unquote, Medicare and Medicaid. In other words, reform entitlements, which are the very items that are destroying our fiscal health.
Didn't Obama already cut $700 million from Medicare?
That's a great point, yes.
Well, we're not supposed to mention that. But then he just reallocated it to Obama.
Well, eventually all these things will be cut, and you'll just have a socialized system where as long as you're wearing your armband, you'll get seen by the doctor.
But see, the problem with Morris's point of view, if you can't address a problem that is a problem and that is destroying us, because it might affect us in the next election. When are you ever going to address it?
Speaking of things that are destroying us, the topic for tonight's Constitution Association meeting, our guest, his name is James E. Horn, and CARE and a Muslim advocacy group tried to convince a Republican women's group in San Diego to strike him from their list of presenters, and they said, screw you guys, we're going to have him anyway. He'll be speaking there on the 8th. What's exciting is he'll be speaking at the Constitution Association tonight. His name is Jim Horn. He talks about political Islam. Definitely be there if you're in the area. We meet at 5 o'clock at Boston Billy's, 26850 Cherry Hills Boulevard in Menifee, once a month, first Saturday night of each month. Come and have dinner with us. All right, Jasmius, plug yourself.
Hard Starboard Radio, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at blogtalkradio.com/HSR Network.
Alex?
ConservativeCanonade.org, and God bless that little girl who said her grace at the breakfast. What an abomination.
Absolutely. Mr. Mobley?
MobiusStripPress.com.
MobiusStripPress. Man, a few words. All right. Douglas V. Gibbs, Constitution Radio. PoliticalPistachio.com, DouglasVGibbs.com, ConstitutionAssociation.com, ConstitutionSpeaker@Yahoo.com. Always remember, folks, united we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America, and my friends, God bless you. We'll see you next Saturday.
Being a kid isn't easy, and for many in the foster care system, life can be filled with instability, hopelessness, and confusion. CASA of San Bernardino County recruits, screens, and trains community member volunteers to mentor and advocate for children and youth in the foster care system and juvenile offenders. CASA volunteers provide consistency. To become a volunteer, visit www.casaofsb.org or call 909-881-6760.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Dee Dee Michaels. For today, partly sunny, high of 67. Tonight, slight chance of showers, low of 48. Saturday, sunny, high of 71. Saturday night, mostly clear, low of 51. Sunday, sunny, high of 83. Sunday night, clear. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for over 55 years. Carpet Masters uses extraction cleaning for your carpet because there's no better cleaning to remove the soil from your carpet. All of our furniture cleaning is done by hand in your home or in our plant. Carpet Masters also offers dry cleaning for fine furniture. Call Carpet Masters at 793-7215. That's 793-7215 for Carpet Masters.
On a recent morning, after checking news reports, I thought, what a freaky news day. Freaky story number one was about the governor of Texas, who rarely has any ideas, but apparently one had unexpectedly erupted from the usually dormant cluster of low-voltage brain cells in the head of Rick Perry. The headline on the story says the gov had declared to the entire nation, "Bring us nuclear waste." Bizarre. While any quasi-sane governor would be trying to protect the state, its people, and future generations from the highly radioactive detritus of the nuclear power industry, here was Governor Goober waving in the waste. This is the same governor who adamantly